Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Retina UK information webinar. And tonight's subject is on the subject fitness, blisters, and fundraising. My name is James Clark, and I'm the Events and Community Fundraising Manager here at Retina UK. And this evening, I'm really delighted to be joined by three of our TCS London Marathon 2024 runners. Before I chat to them, I'd love to give you a little bit of background. So at Retina UK, the TCS London Marathon is our biggest challenge event fundraiser. And this year's team is our biggest team in 5 years. And we can't wait to cheer them all on in exactly a month's time. So Team Retina UK will take to the streets of London on the 21st of April, and they've already raised an incredible £43,000, with that total set to rise even more as we head towards race day. The money that they've raised already will make a huge difference and allow us to continue supporting those with inherited sight loss, both through the vital information and support services, but also by investing into medical research. If any of our live viewers have any questions throughout tonight's webinar, please do type them into the Q&A box here on Zoom, and we'll try and answer them at the end. It's time now to meet our three panelists who are joining me this evening. All three of them have been training hard for months for this year's marathon, so I'm really excited to hear how they've been getting on. So first up is Ashley. So Ashley is our biggest fundraiser so far this year, and he's already raised a staggering £9,300 for Retina UK. Good evening, Ashley. How are you?
Very well, thank you, James. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And then next up is Sophie. So we'll be finding out more about your personal reasons for running for Retina UK later on, but a huge welcome to you. Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you very much. And then finally, we've got Tom, who has been a long-term supporter of Retina UK over the years, and he's took on many challenges for us, which I'm sure we'll talk about shortly. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. So I'm actually going to start off with you, Tom. So obviously, thank you again for joining us. So obviously, I know your story. I know all the different things you've done for us and the reason why, but obviously, I'd love to share that with everyone else. So let's go back to the beginning, if you don't mind. So can you just share how you first heard about Retina UK and your reasons for getting involved in supporting us?
Yeah, of course. So it's through my younger sister. My younger sister was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa when she was 16. She had RP when she was 16, and there was a day that I was walking through East London and really asking myself, what am I doing for other people? I was kind of looking at my life and going, it's great to do a lot of things for yourself, but really questioning what am I doing for other people. So I got into a conversation with her, and we were talking about different types of charities, sight loss charities, and so on and so forth. And then she had actually mentioned to me Retina UK and the specificness of the charity itself. And how they help fund research for medical research for RP, and they'll also help people within the inherited sight loss community with support. And I went on to the Retina UK website, and the first thing I saw was the London Ride 100. And pre that, I had never really done any endurance challenges. But I had witnessed firsthand what RP can do to someone. But also, she hasn't allowed it to define her and who she is. So I've also seen what that diagnosis can do, but also what a person can do when they choose to, I guess, overcome as best as they possibly can and live their life to the fullest. So she's really my core inspiration behind a lot of the challenges that I've done so far and the reason why I came across Retina UK.
She must be very proud, I'm sure. It must
Or
be
vice
really
versa,
proud.
vice versa. I'm more proud of her than it's more she's the person that gets me across the finish line.
Amazing. So, talk us through what else have you done since Ride 100? You've done other things as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so I did Ride London 100, the Three Peaks Challenge, did a 2.5 kilometer open water swim, and then most recently pre-London was half Ironman in Swansea, Ironman 70.3. I have to make sure that I say it's half and not full. I've always got to say half Ironman, not a full one. That was the last challenge that I did before before London London Marathon.
So what was it about the London Marathon? Obviously, it's like the world's most iconic race, probably. So why did it appeal to you? Why did you want to sign up and get involved?
I guess oddly enough, I f actually find the training much, much more difficult than doing something like a triathlon. I think the discipline of running, both the physical aspect of it and also the mental, that distance, is a big distance to get underneath your belt, and the training that kind of goes into that, because it's a one discipline, you really have to incorporate a lot of strength work, a lot of road running, getting the miles underneath your feet, and it's one of the most iconic races in the world. And also, I'm on to compete in, I say compete or do the swim serpentine challenge in September. So also that was another pull, was to complete the London Classics, because you get London Ride 100, then you've got the swim serpentine, and then you've got the London Marathon. So if you complete all of those, then you get the London Classics. So I think everybody who's into any type of physical exercise, and even if you're not, you know about London Marathon. And every person that I've spoken to that's done the race has just said how incredible not only the atmosphere and the support is, but actually getting across that finish line. So I think that was the pull. And what I'm finding is the training is actually a lot harder than any triathlon or any other previous kind of endurance challenges that I've done before, definitely.
I think from speaking to a lot of this year's runners, I think I really sympathize because it's so hard training through the winter and it's so dark and cold. But sadly, that's obviously part of the build-up. So how have you found the training and kind of what advice would you give to people that are thinking of taking on a race for Retina UK?
I mean, the training itself, yeah, it's been tough. It's been hard. I quite like to endure. I quite like going out and toughing it out when it's the rain and it's the cold and it's the hard weather. So that hasn't been too bad. And it's been great, because what I've found is I've actually accessed a very large running community, and I've spoken to ultra runners, multiple time marathon finishers. Anybody who runs ultras, by the way, I have to say, I bow down to any ultra runner that I see, because that is just a next level discipline and physicality. And any multiple time marathon finisher, even if you finish one, I'm still bowing down in front of you. I've got absolute respect for anybody who completes a marathon and then does multiple other ones after that. I think that's kind of insane. And then, yeah, my biggest thing that I've got out of this is not only that I know that the help that I'm doing with Retina UK, fundraising, everything else like that, has a direct impact. I think that's the key thing about working as a fundraiser for Retina UK, is with the larger organizations, you can kind of get lost in how large the corporation is, because they become their own kind of entities, and it's hard to kind of track and trace where the money is going and how it's impacting and in what way is it making a difference. But with Retina UK, you can see the immediate difference that this fundraising does have. And then the other thing that's taken from that is, I would encourage anyone to do any type of race that they've never done before, because what you gain out of it is something that money can't buy. And the depth in which you go within yourself to finish these kind of longer races tells you more about what you're capable of doing, and you can carry that into every aspect of your life. And that is whether you haven't done, if you haven't done a 5K, it doesn't have to be this enormous thing. It could be a 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon. It could be a 2K, if you whatever it is. It could be a walking challenge, it could be a hiking challenge. Go out there, get stuck in, and what you find is you gain so much back from it that makes the entire thing worth it. So you win in multiple kind of ways, and it goes into every other aspect of your life, and you carry kind of a self-confidence about yourself, I think, because you've tested yourself and you've gone past that kind of point of a physical and mental boundary within yourself. So then you set the goalpost again and you reset and you reset and you reset. So it never really ends, I don't think. And that starts with something as like a distance like 5K. If you wanted to start anything, start at 5K. And just get involved with Retina, because that's the other thing, is everybody's so hands-on within the organization. I mean, you yourself, James, are incredible. And everybody that I've come into contact with Retina, everybody's really responsive, really proactive. So the organization feels like you're really a part of it. And I think that's what's really key. So I'd encourage anyone to go out and kind of get stuck in whatever way that they can. Yeah.
Amazing. You must be psychic, because you've just answered my next question, but you may be able to elaborate a little bit more. So just obviously anyone that takes on any fundraising for us at Retina UK is supported by our fundraising team from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to anyone that's watching or listening? Why would you encourage them to get involved and take on a challenge for Retina UK?
Yeah, I think it's that personal touch that comes with Retina. Obviously, it's a really personal charity to me, and it's something that I see myself being a part of the organization, doing as much fundraising as I can do for the foreseeable future, because it's something that's deeply personal to me, because I've seen how this condition can affect somebody's life. But it's just that integration and that feeling that you're a part of something much bigger than yourself, the responsiveness that you get from the team. I mean, we did Worksop Got Talent, I've got to make sure I get that right, last year. And it was great to kind of meet the whole team that was there, that was present on the night. So I just feel that with Retina UK, it's a lot more of a personable kind of, you know, that your fundraising is having a direct impact. Everybody is really immediate. Everybody's so welcoming when you get on board. And if you're ever kind of unsure how to kind of get started or how to get stuck in or what challenge to do, you know, Retina offer that for you, give you like a jump start into that kind of world, and guide you every step of the way, you know. And I think that's really, really important. And again, I know I keep saying it, I know I keep repeating it, but this type of fundraising is vital, and you see the direct impact of where the money goes, and it's helping such a larger community that I think don't really have the right level of attention and the right level of voice within the UK right now. You know, I think the inherited sight loss community needs to have a bigger voice, and Retina UK needs to be as spoken about and as made aware about as possible as every other organization. You know, people go with Marie Curie, cancer research, so on and so forth, for their own particular reasons. Mine is very personal, so I think I'm going to try and, you know, wave the flag and raise awareness for Retina UK as long as I possibly can, I think.
Yeah, that's, we always say the awareness is just as important as the fundraising, so yeah, great to hear. So thank you very much, Tom. If anyone has any questions for Tom after what he's just said, obviously drop it in the Q&A and we'll come to that at the end. So I'm going to move on to Sophie now. So welcome again, Sophie. Should we kickstart off, obviously, talking about your reasons for getting involved? And you've got a personal reason for running for Retina UK this year, don't you? So do you want to talk us through that and how you heard about the charity?
Hi. So one of my good friends, Finlay McLeod, sadly passed away last May. And he was the one that actually taught me about RP and about everything that came with the struggles of having retinitis pigmentosa, and he just couldn't see a future life with RP, which is so sad. So therefore I'll be doing the marathon for him and hoping that it won't take another life, and the research and money raised will go to help, which I'm sure it will. But
yeah, absolutely will. So it's obviously going to be an incredible tribute to Finlay and a very emotional but special day, because I'm sure you'll be thinking about him throughout. Have you got lots of friends and family coming to support?
Yeah, I'm currently at university and lots of my uni friends are going to come, as well as all like my school friends, family, friends. So that will be lovely.
Definitely. It's my first time going. Never mind, obviously I'm working it, but I can't wait to soak up the atmosphere. I've watched it every year on TV, so it's going to be amazing. So how's your training been going? Obviously we were saying it's been tough over the winter, but Sounds like you've been smashing it.
Yeah, my training's been going quite well, thank you. I've just struggled a bit, like trying to balance like uni work, being social still with my friends, just because it does end up taking a lot of time, especially when you get into the like longer run weeks. But yeah, it's been good, thanks.
Amazing. So how far have you run? Where are you up to in your training?
I'm up to about 28 kilometers.
Okay.
So, and I think the end of my plan's about 32, which I'm going to do next week.
Amazing. I think that's a crucial point, actually, to say to anyone listening, is that there's so many amazing apps out there. There's so many websites. You can get one through London Marathon themselves. Because I personally would never sign up to do this. I would never run 26 miles. But those that obviously are interested, there's so much support, not just from us at Retina UK, but so many amazing platforms out there for training plans and things like that. So what are you most looking forward to? Because it's exactly 1 month today. So what, apart from obviously the food, the massages and everything else afterwards, but what about the race itself are you most looking forward to?
I feel like everyone just says how crazy the crowds are and the atmosphere is like, you can't beat it. And everyone raves about how amazing the London Marathon is compared to some others as well.
It's just so iconic, isn't it? So not even just in this country, worldwide. And in fact, if anyone listening obviously spots one of our runners on the TV, do take pictures and send them in. It's going to be, there's so much going on, so we can't wait to see. So what advice would you give to anyone that's listening, that's potentially thinking about doing any type of fundraising for us, but especially a challenge event or a running race?
I think I would just say like the distance or time or like that doesn't matter. You just need to focus on the reason why you're doing it, whether you're doing that for a friend, a family, just to raise awareness because you found out about how amazing Retina, the charity, is, and to just really remain focused on the reason why you're doing it. Like if you don't want to get up and run one day, think like, come on, like just remember why you're doing it the whole way and not to give up.
Definitely. And it's also all your amazing friends and family and people that you know that are sponsoring you is spreading the awareness even further of the charity and what we do. So we can never say thank you enough. I'm sure we'll say it hundreds of times on the actual day. But like you say, that's the most important thing. It's about remembering your reason why. And like you say, I'm sure it'll keep you going all the way through. It'll be very special. So let me have a look. So obviously this is your first kind of fundraiser for Retina UK. So is it something that you think would become a long time tribute to Finlay? Because I know the amazing work that so many other friends and family have been doing for him. There's been rugby matches, sports days, races, hikes, all sorts of amazing things that have happened since May last year. And Team Finlay, as we call them, have raised over £50,000 since May last year, which is just absolutely incredible. And obviously your fundraising is going to be added to that total as well. So it just shows that the amazing work and legacy that obviously he's left behind. So it's just super incredible and we're so grateful. So yeah, thank you very much, Sophie. I'm just going to move on now to Ashley. So welcome to you, Ashley.
Thanks, James.
And so same for you. Tell us how you first heard about Retina UK and what was your reasons for wanting to get involved and support us?
I think kind of over the years, just sort of family members have raised money for sight loss charities, but never actually Retina UK. Kind of always been a little bit perhaps uneducated in who the right charity is to kind of raise awareness and raise funds for. So kind of obviously Retina UK, just over the last few years, I've had some trials and surgery myself on my eyes, as I'm a sufferer of RP myself. So yeah, I think so over the last sort of 5 years, it's had quite a lot of work done, sort of had sort of gene therapy done under the Oxford Eye Hospital under Professor McLaren. And subsequently off the back of that had some cataracts removed on both eyes. So yeah, you think you kind of arrive at a point where other people are kind of raised money and done their part. And then obviously the work's been done on myself. It just kind of felt that now is the time to sort of play my part and give something back, really. And ultimately to raise some money for Retina UK.
And you've raised more than just a little bit, like I said earlier. So it's £9,300 currently, which is just incredible. So there's going to be a lot of people listening to this that are thinking, and I mean, I think it as well, how have you raised that much money? You clearly have a wide network of friends, family, colleagues. Talk us through. Tell us how you've raised that much money.
James, if I'm honest, I don't really have any tips and tricks, if I'm honest with you. I think I'm kind of just surrounded by just a lot of kind-hearted people. I think, as I mentioned, I've never done a solo charity event before. So I think that helps as well. Who knows after this one? As Tom mentions, like I say, will I go on to do many marathons hereafter? I'm not planning on it, but I think that helps me somewhat in that I've never had a charity event myself, so I've never actually asked anyone. I think with Retina UK, as I mentioned, being an RP sufferer, I feel it's a little bit more than just, again, kind of as Tom alludes to, it's more than just running for ABC charity and just to kind of get my place in the marathon. There's a bit of an emotional connection with this one. It's 38 people, kind of a lot of the people that donated have been in my life, obviously family all my life, but yeah, some friends and colleagues, whatnot, sort of going back sort of 30 years, some of these people. So yeah, that's kind of that's a lot of it. So yeah, just very fortunate, I suppose. I wish I had a little bit of that if I'd done it again next year, I don't think it'll be as much. But yeah, it's really a lot of kind-hearted people, really.
Definitely. And it's probably because they've seen how you kind of managed to live with RP and you've turned it into a positive. You've got your own business and you work hard and you've got all these other things going on. So they probably want to kind of support you in this way. So I mean, and they are supporting in a very big way. It's incredible. So talk us through your training. How's that been going? And have you had any injuries? And tell us all about it.
Yeah, the training's been up and down, if I'm honest with you. I've sort of go back to last spring, I tore ligaments in my ankle in three places. So I was out running and just a dip of a curb sort of driveway and rolled my ankle, and that was me out of running for a little period of time. And I then got my place in the marathon. So I kind of upped the running towards the back end of last year. Throughout December, there's a lot of running happening just to kind of get myself in some form of shape, and happened to injure the ankle again. So didn't actually run throughout the month of January, complete zero. So that was tough. So I've had to play a little bit of catch up. Really kind of sort of hit the tarmac in sort of February. And obviously, as you mentioned earlier, James, obviously it's been cold, it's wet, it's dark. So obviously being an RP sufferer, it's challenging. Like I say, obviously you can't get up in the mornings and do the runs when most can, and likewise in the evening. So just trying to sort of juggle finding the pockets of daylight, and juggling that with, as you say, work, children, other commitments, etc. So yeah, it's been a long winter, and yeah, it's nice to see, like say, getting up now and the sun's rising earlier and setting later. I'm quite happy. So I went out for a run today, set off at 20 past six, which a month ago that was just impossible. I was hovering around till like 8 o'clock, just watching the sky and ready to go out and run. So it's been like I say, up and down. Distance wise, I'm kind of up to similar to Sophie. Would I've done 30Ks is what I've done. So that's the max done so far. So I'm heading out this weekend to try and chalk up a 33, 34. So yeah, a few niggles, not getting any younger. But yeah, I'd say all in all, I'm quite happy with where I'm at, really. Lost a little bit of weight, intentional as well with the training. So feeling a little bit lighter. So yeah. I'm feeling good about it. And had a little bit of a bump the other day. Probably see a little bit of the scar still across the top. But yeah, RP sufferer, low hanging tree branch, and boom, straight into the, cut my head open, and I think I had probably about two miles or so to go. So I was, blood pouring down and whatnot. But yeah, so I got myself a cap actually the other day. So if anyone does, I don't know why it took me for my head to get cut open to think about buying a hat. But yeah, I got myself a nightcap the other day, and so I feel a little bit safer now on the road.
It's those little things, those practical tips that others listening to this will relate to. So something as simple as a cap really could help. We've actually just had a question in, and it's around trainers. So again, it's something practical. So have you got through different pairs of trainers? Do you have a certain brand that's good? What's working there?
I'm a nightmare for it recently, but yeah, I'm on my fourth pair, I think. But yeah, I'm settled on these ones. I've had Asics, and I don't know why they always seem to give me shin splints. But some people love them. And I purchased a pair of Brooks, which I ran in for most of December, and they were fine actually. They weren't as springy. And then obviously I had the injury, and then I just decided to go back to Nike, which is what I used to run in. So yeah, I've got some Nike Alpha Flies. They're a bit more of a race day trainer. And so they're comfortable. They're very springy, very bouncy, but they're not very comforting, which I'm suffering with at the moment around the sort of the top of the foot, the sort of bones and the ankle. They're not very comforting there, but that's what I'm running in at the moment and going to do on the day.
Amazing. We'll carry on chatting in a minute, but Sophie and Tom, what have you found with trainers? Any advice? We'll start with you, Tom.
Let me unmute myself. I think it's personal preference, really. I run with Hoka Clifton 8. So what I did was I went into Runner's World, and what you can do there is you can jump on a tread and have them watch your way of running. And then they kind of give really great advice on what trainers would be the best, what kind of running trainers would be the best for your kind of way of running. But the reason why I stuck with Hockers is because they're the ones that I run the Ironman with. So it's more of a mind game thing. I'm a bit fearful about switching trainer brands. I've stuck with Hoka Clifton 8s. They're kind of, but sometimes with some people they've got too much heel on them. So it's like what Ashley's saying. I think you're good to try a couple of maybe different ones and maybe stick with one throughout your training, then maybe have a race day shoe. But it's just down to personal preference and what kind of works for your feet, I guess.
Amazing. And what about you, Sophie? How have you been getting on?
So I ordered a new pair of the Hoka Bondi 8s or 9s, the ones with the chunky sole, because everyone said, they're the best for long distance. And I put them on and I felt like I was like on a massive platform. Like, I've always worn a really like thin trainer, like a sock, one that's almost like a sock basically, which is really light and just squidgy. And I just found they were too hard and high. Like I just ran around my kitchen in them and was like, I don't like these. And then I went to run as well. I went everywhere. And I think I tried on about 100 pairs of trainers until I finally found a pair that I loved, and they were the On Cloud Monsters, and they've been so comfy and perfect for me. But that's because I like quite a light trainer that's really squidgy.
Amazing. So I'm learning so much here. I don't know about everyone else. I've not run for many years. Let's go back to Ashley then. So obviously I mentioned earlier, you've clearly got an amazing network of people around you, so friends, family, and colleagues. And talking of colleagues, obviously you work at LSP Renewables, and you've also got a colleague and friend of yours, Jacob, running. So talk us through that. Did you manage to twist his arm, or was it the other way around?
Jacob, he's a great young lad. He's very, very mature, very wise head on young shoulders. He's worked with me for about 18 months now, and I think it was the sort of first interaction, really. It was kind of a Christmas party and typically sort of winter time in sort of dark environment. And he just kind of, I say, he only knew me 3 or 4 months, but he kind of understood the situation with RP. Like you meet many people in your life, and I think everyone kind of has always got the best intentions, but they maybe don't quite understand it entirely. And there's just some people you just meet and they just get it straight away. They know what you're going to see, what you're not, and how much to hold you, how much to not. It's just a real fine balance I've always found. And it's, and he just got it. And we just formed a good bond. And he's a fitness fanatic, like most youngsters are these days. Times have changed from when I was 18, 19. But yeah, it's not who can drink the most pints now, who can run the fastest. He's, I say, 20, 21-year-old lad. Sort of said, look, do you want to get involved and run the marathon type thing for this for Retina UK? And there was no arm twisting at all, James. Almost you straight in. His training's going well. He's gone to Spain actually for a few days, a bit of some retreat. Eating broccoli and running down beachfronts. It's refreshing to have someone like Jacob on the Retina team. He's a great guy.
Definitely. And he's smashed his target already as well. So
yeah, he smashed his target. And as I say, we've just got the young guys in my office, got two other guys. They're not running the London Marathon. But Ty and Josh, they will be running the Brighton Marathon actually ahead of that, being about 2 weeks' time ish. Again, two great young lads, really motivated, really well disciplined. Not just great colleagues, but they're also good friends of mine. So, yeah, they're all bought into the cause, and they're out doing their bit on the pavement.
It is incredible. You've got four marathon runners in May. We'll let you have the summer off before the time of anything else. But talk about, obviously, your quiz night as well. So you organised an internal quiz night and the money raised went to all four of your fundraising, which I loved. It was amazing.
Yeah, the quiz night. It was a great night, to be honest with you. For anyone that's looking for any tips on sort of raising funds, I'd honestly really recommend the quiz night. It's... I say a lot of people do lots of different things to try and rust up the cash, but it's just fun all round. It kind of brings everyone together. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, James, just raises awareness, doesn't it? So even if there are people in the room, and it's not always just about, because obviously, look, times are tough out there in the world. Obviously, it's not just about how deep people can go in their pockets. It's about just raising that awareness. You don't even need donations sometimes. It's just word of mouth. So, yeah, it was some good attendance, probably 80, 90 people. And I've got to say, look, a particular thank you to another colleague of mine, Charlotte Eastaff, for organising. It was a great event. She's actually on maternity leave. She had a young boy last week, Arthur. So, yeah, Arthur's now in the world. So she's, I was about to say she's putting her feet up, but that's completely not the case. thank you to Charlotte. And yeah, as you say, we raised just over £1,000, which was spread across all four of our Retina fundraising pages. So yeah, it was a great evening.
Yeah, sounds it. So then, talking about obviously the race day, 1 month today, you'll probably be putting your feet up, having a drink at this point. So other than obviously the food and the massages, what are you most looking forward to about the race itself?
It's got to be the atmosphere. I think it's just, yeah, like I say, just to feel that atmosphere. I mean, again, heard lots about it, and almost how the crowd going to get you through it, which is, I'm pretty sure I'm going to need some of that on sort of several occasions throughout the day. So, yeah, I'm really excited to. So I've always kind of run with earphones, listening to music, but I've just been training myself over the last few weeks to run without any music or podcasts. Because everyone's just like, just soak up the atmosphere. You don't need to be listening to music. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. A lot of family and friends and colleagues coming up to support. And same as you, James, I've never actually been up there. I've watched it a lot on the TV. Know people that have run it, but I've never been up there for the day. I think probably the big crowds and that has kind of just deterred me, I guess, with the eyesight condition. But, yeah, rather than watching it, I thought, hey, why not? First time, let's go straight in the mix.
Definitely. I think there's going to be lots of live music anyway around the course, so that'll keep you occupied, I'm sure. So other than the race itself, so what advice would you give to anyone listening If they're not even just a challenge event, any type of fundraising, what advice would you give to them to kind of give back to Retina UK?
I think it's probably a case that, look, I'm probably biased, obviously. I'm sure we all are, since we've got that affection to Retina UK, but I think it's the case of, look, the more it's about giving the future generation, we want to look to see if people work ways that they can retain their eyesight for as long as possible. Look, we know a lot about obviously the inherited sight loss. Obviously, I always have hope that mine will be stopped, stopped in its tracks. But I say a bit older now, will it? Will it not? But I think that's the key thing, really. It's not always about the us right here, right now. It's about our children and grandchildren. If we can kind of find a way, to kind of find that cure, cure would be amazing. But even if it's just a case of just stopping it in its tracks, that's a an absolute bonus, or slow down the deterioration. But so yeah, so I think Tom's really right, and we said earlier there isn't a big enough voice, is there, for the likes of Retina UK. It's yeah, it's kind of, well, it's not visible, I suppose. It's not really spoken about as much. So yeah, so like I say, if anyone can, if they want to raise money for a charity, then obviously I'll definitely be saying, yeah, go for Retina UK. But likewise, I'm sure there are many other worthy charities also.
Definitely. So have you felt well supported, would you say, in the build up to the race? And how would you kind of summarize your experience of working with the charity?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, look, working with yourself, because I've committed to it before. I had to, because of, as I mentioned, because of the cataracts operations. So I think this is actually, no, for third time lucky. This is obviously, I'm definitely committed this time. So yeah, obviously before I've kind of committed, and obviously had to have operations, which has then been meant I had to pull out. So, but yeah, you, like I say, Retina have been great. Yourself, James, have been really patient. Like I say, where I pulled out twice before, you could easily have thought that this guy hasn't got what it takes to follow through. Don't give him a place again. But you stuck with me. And yeah, and I'm glad you did. And I'm looking forward to it. And like I say, you've always been on hand to give us advice, answer questions, check in on us, rather than just, guys, here we go, and sort yourselves out, see you on the day. So yeah, it's I mean, again, I know I keep referring to what Tom and Sophie said, but I think it's because it's true, isn't it? You feel that connection, you feel that bit of passion, like that sort of that family type vibe. So yeah, so thank you to you and the team.
Amazing. Thank you very much. So we've had a few questions that come in. I'll stay with you, Ashley, while we've got you. So somebody's asking what kind of snacks and gels and things you've been having. Have you tried that on your training runs yet, or are you saving that for race day?
Have had the gels actually, twice now. What ones were they there on Amazon? I think it's like SIS gels. Do you know what? Yeah, they work definitely. When I went out the weekend, 30K, had them, had I think 2.5 gels. I think the key to having the gels is to make sure that you kind of take them on board around, as you're kind of getting to maybe sort of 70% in the tank. You almost want to top up, as opposed to going getting to empty and then trying to fuel the body. So yeah, so that's how, I think I took the first one on board, sort of maybe 7-8K in, just to start getting it in the system. Yeah.
Amazing. And what about you, Sophie? Have you tried the gels and the protein bars and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I've also been using the SIS ones, the like orange and raspberry ones, but I've just found you need some chewing gum after them, because they leave your mouth like tasting disgusting with like a layer of slimy gel. And definitely just trying to force myself to drink water throughout running, so that, because everyone said it's all about at the beginning when you think, oh, I'm not tired, I don't need anything. But it's about like that last bit is then when you need to have had the water and it's too late. So like having sips every like 2K or so, just like one mouthful, but to keep going.
Definitely. And it's like what Ashley was saying, that's a good way that when you get to 70%, keep yourself and your energy levels topped up before you start crashing. So really good advice. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, I think we're all flying the flag for SIS. I've done the same. They're my go-tos. I did them with the half Ironman as well. And I'd probably recommend, if anybody does want to check them out, they're called Precision Fuel Hydration. And you can go on the website and you can put in the details of whatever race that you're looking to do. And what they'll do is they'll customize your nutrition for that particular race. But the key thing is and just to branch on what Ashley and Sophie have said, to make sure that you're using your gels in your training. Don't do the mistake that I did, where I just used them on the day for Ironman, and it beat me up much later on down the race. Make sure that when you are using the gels, you're using them during your training period, so that on race day, then body is already used to said taste, said gel. So when you're loading it up on race day, it makes sense. If, you know, don't do what I did and just start wolfing whatever you can grab down your neck. It doesn't work.
Yeah, and this webinar is not sponsored by SIS or whatever it's called, let me clarify. It's interesting that you all seem to be using the same one. It's clearly probably the leading one. Again, I'm not an expert on these things, so I'll take your word for it. So actually, I'll stay with you, Tom. So something that we hear a lot about, not just with this race, but just other events that we've got, is kind of people get a little bit daunted by having a fundraising target. So what advice would you give? Because obviously we keep in touch with people in the many months leading up to it and try and keep people on track and give advice and tips throughout. But what advice would you give? Something like Ashley was saying about the quiz and doing a bit of smaller events, it all builds up. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, you know, congrats to because I know Sophie's just passed her own personal target, and Ashley, that target is incredible. So again, congrats to you. It's amazing what you've done. And yeah, I think my friends are sick of hearing from me. So they're kind of like, we have got no more money to give you, because I just keep coming back to them year after year. But I guess, yeah, it's, you know, you can be creative with it. Outreaching works if you've got like a network. I know Sophie was speaking about it earlier with you know, university or job, you know, or one thing that I've found that has been quite responsive is outreaching to independent running brands. A lot of them are quite responsive in getting back and donating whatever they can. And then, yeah, just doing fundraising in any which way that you can. I'm a yoga practitioner, so sometimes I try and get people just to donate at the end of a session. So just these small ways that tally up over time. And I think that's, you can never start fundraising too early. So if you can get in ahead of time, then get it in early, because it makes the difference on the other side of it when you're getting closer to race day.
Definitely. I always say that to our runners, because just take that pressure off. You've got enough to think about with the actual training itself. So just stagger your fundraising as early, as soon as you get the place, really. What about you, Sophie? How have you approached it? Is it just been a case of sending messages to friends and family? Have you been sharing on social media? How have you got to over £1,000 so far?
So I've been using social media like Instagram and things to keep people updated on my training. And I feel like that's made them post, because I'll be like, oh, did this today. And then they're like, oh, perfect, I'll sponsor you. And just reminding them, because I feel like I'm a victim to it as well, seeing someone's doing it. I mean, like, oh, I'll do it later, and then forgetting. So as long as you keep reminding people and just telling people about it, because I think when you actually bring it up to them in person, they're then like, oh, wow, what a great cause, I want to donate more. Whereas if you just see it online, sometimes people just aren't looking or miss it. So definitely just telling everyone without becoming too repetitive every time you see them.
Definitely. But that's one of my main pieces of advice that I give. It's just mixing up the ways you promote it, because people are more likely to engage with, like you say, training photos and things like that, and seeing the amount of time and effort that's going into it. So some really good advice there. And I always say as well, obviously, sending messages out to friends and family, sharing on social media, like we talked about. But a lot of companies now offer match funding as well. There's lots of kind of places that will kind of top it up if you reach a certain amount. Kind of CSR and responsible business is quite topical at the moment. So again, if anyone's listening that is obviously working for a company, there's so many ways you can explore that. because we're here to help. I know sometimes it may feel a little bit daunting, but have a chat with us and we'll talk you through it, and it's absolutely fine. One other thing I was going to mention actually is obviously there's going to be 8 of us coming from Retina UK on the day. There's going to be loads of friends and families for all of our amazing runners. But if anyone listening to this wants to come along and support, just get in touch with me. We'll include my email on the post-event email. And then, yeah, come along and cheer on our amazing runners. It's going to be a special day. We're going to get our steps in for all of us walking around London, and making sure I can try and track all of the runners. But it is going to be a really special day. So we've got a few more questions, I think, that have come in. So we'll probably respond to those after the webinar. But I think we'll probably wrap up there. So obviously a huge thank you to Tom, Sophie and Ashley for joining us tonight and for sharing their stories and motivations for being a part of Team Retina UK this year. And it obviously goes without saying that myself and everyone at the charity is so grateful for your support. And every single penny that you've raised will make a huge difference and allow us to continue our vital work. And like I said, I can't wait to obviously see you there in a month's time. For those that are listening, obviously Retina UK is a registered charity. And some people are sometimes surprised by the fact that we receive no government funding. So we solely rely on our amazing supporters to raise the funds that we make and then obviously invest into our support and obviously research. So that's just such a simple stat that people are so frequently surprised by. And with summer on its way, you may be thinking that you fancy taking on the challenge for Retina UK. And if anyone watching or listening is interested in signing up to a challenge event, our website, which is www.retinauk.org.uk, has got lots of brand new events on there. So go and check it out. If you went on a few months ago, there's a lot more that have been on since. So keep checking the website regularly. We've got a wide range of events to choose from, including runs, hikes, treks, swims. If you're a little bit crazy, skydives and wing walks are on there as well. We've got triathlons, and there's so much more. So make sure you check out the website. If you've got any ideas of your own, you want to do your own hike or anything like that, again, just get in touch and we'll have a chat. And also follow Retina UK across our social media accounts to stay up to date. And also, we just launched our brand new weekly lottery last week. So that's a new thing at Retina UK. And if you kind of sign up to that, you can be in with a chance of winning £25,000, which would come in handy for all of us, I'm sure. So again, head to our website. It's actually on the homepage. So you'll be able to see all the information and find out more there. Like I said, we're going to be sending out an email in the next couple of days, which will have all of the details of everything we've talked about, and it will allow you to rewatch the webinar. And it'll also give you details on how you can book onto some of those challenge events I've just been talking about. And we'll also be seeking your feedback on tonight's webinar. So again, any feedback, questions, thoughts, please get in touch and let us know. So I think it goes without saying again, thank you to our amazing panelists. Thank you to everyone that signed up to listen. And like we said, we can't thank you all enough. So look forward to seeing you in a month's time. And thank you everyone for listening.